Amen, Carol. Everybody say, thank you, Carol. So, if ever you're feeling like your life is for the birds, just remember, God's eyes are upon you. He cares about you. He really does. My Jesus, I love you. I know you are mine. For you all the follies of sin, I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior are you. If ever I loved you, my Jesus, it is now. I love you because you have first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love you for wearing the thorns on your brow. If ever I loved you, my Jesus, it is now. I will love you in life. I will love you in death. And praise you as long as you give me breath. And say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love you, my Jesus, it's now. You see, the whole compassionate aspect of the teachings of our Lord has maybe sort of dwindling in our culture today. Jesus warned in Matthew that when lawlessness becomes a criteria of a lifestyle of a people, that it's a tendency for people's hearts and love to wax cold, to not care, become dull, become numb. And certainly as you and I live in our time frame of life and we see so much of what's happening in the world today, so much injustice, so much lawlessness, we have to protect our heart. We got to protect our heart from allowing it to cause our hearts to become cold. Because if that happens, there is no way you and I can have the true heart of God, because God cares. He cares. And yet we know, as 1 John 4 said, we love because he first loved us. And love indeed was Jesus' priority, wasn't it? No question about it. When the lawyer asked him what was the greatest commandment in the law, he simply refined it all into two basic commands. You know what they are. The first one was to love the Lord your God with your whole being, your soul, your mind, body, strength. And then the second is very similar to it, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. But he didn't stop there. He said, on those two commands, everything the law taught and everything the prophets taught, hang on them. Everything. Everything that the Old Testament taught was hanging on those two basic commands. Love God. Love him with every aspect of your being, and love one another. Love your neighbor. Love him as yourself. Because God's eternal strategy that he laid in time and laid in pact and has always been the same from the law, from the prophets, till Jesus came, has never changed, will never change. And that strategy is to create a people who will love him and love one another. And have compassion for the lost. Have compassion for the hurting, the suffering, the people that are a part of the world that you and I live in today. Love, love, love. The gospel, in a word, is love. You see, God's wisdom is for you and I, as we assemble together, have come together in Christ, and as we look and live in the world and be separate from the world, we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into God's kingdom. What God's wisdom is that together, you and I would begin to comprehend the height, the depth, the breadth, and the length of the love of God. What are we to be developing? What are we to be understanding? What are we to come to grips with? What are we as people to come to understand? What is, together with the saints of God, what is the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of the length of the love of God? Ephesians chapter 3. He went and he goes on and he says very clearly, and to know, together now, all the saints of God, knowing the height, depth, length, and the breadth of the love of God, and that we would know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. That we would know the love of Christ which surpasses any form of knowledge. Love disconnects itself from what you know. Love is a gift from God. Love comes through the inner dwelling of the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Get it. Understand it. God has a strategy and a plan. He laid it intact before the foundation of this world, that he himself would be and create an elect people that would come to a point where, because of his love, they would love him with their whole being. And through those people, those saints, those elect of God, he could love the world and change the world through the love of his people. The compassion that would drive them and force them and create them to become godlike in their nature, Christlike in their very being, that we would be filled with the fullness of God. That's what we're supposed to be comprehending together with all the saints, is the height, breadth, length, and the depth of the love of God, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, and to be filled with the fullness of God. Full. You see, God's word declares that love is the fulfillment of the law. Okay? Romans 13, verses 8 through 10. The whole context of that particular passage of Scripture simply states this in its very substance, that all the commandments of God are summed up in one. One commandment, and that is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to one's neighbor. Thus, therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law. He said, I came to fulfill it. So now, what did the law demand? What did the law demand? It demanded sacrifice. Why sacrifice? Sacrifice for sin. Always was a sacrifice connected to it, and always blood being connected to it, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, there is no washing or atonement for sin. So Jesus himself said, I didn't come to destroy it, I come to make it complete and whole, to fulfill it in its very aspect by living it every jot and tittle that it demanded. I was going to fulfill it, and I was going to become, and he lived sinless. But in that sinlessness, he became sin on your behalf, because God laid on him the iniquities of us all and laid him up on a cross and sacrificed his own son because the law demanded it. You get it? Therefore, by the love of God, he let his son take your place on a cross. Because you should have been there, so should I, and Jesus took your place. Now, you got to get the heart of that, people. If that doesn't move you, then that's why you're not, and people won't meet around this table. This table can only be meaningful to those people who understand what God did on the cross, what Jesus did for you, what he did for you by taking your place, becoming sin on your behalf. God laid on him the iniquities of every one of us. And therefore, Jesus said, I come to fulfill the demand of the law on behalf of all people. For God so loved the whole world. Everyone has a benefit of what happened on the cross, but there are criteria, of course, to receive the benefits, aren't there? And of course, that is to acknowledge Jesus Christ indeed as the Son of God, and to know indeed that is. But the end of the law not only demanded sacrifice, it demanded love. God did not want people in any way. I mean, think about it. Why did God have people slaughter, cut the throats of innocent animals for something they had done? You think God intended for them to be able to take justification and self-righteousness as the Jews and Pharisees did, and the fact that they were faithful in sacrificing, but they kept right on sinning. They didn't repent. And God's intent was that they would see the horrifying aspect of sin, that an innocent animal had to be sacrificed on their behalf and quit sinning. They never got it. God never delighted in sacrifice, never delighted in the shedding of blood, never took pleasure in what was happening. But isn't it amazing that how many times we can become disconnected from the meaning of what God wants our heart to feel? You see, it has to come through here, but it has to end up here. It has to end up here. And so Christ brought an end to the law by living the perfect end of the law, what it demanded, sacrifice and love. He loved you and me to the very nth of his willingness. Even though he prayed for that cup to be removed, he was willing to take your place and become sin on your behalf. He has taken it out of the way. He has nailed it to the cross. We now live not under the law, because Jesus fulfilled it, abolished it. We now live under grace. Grace. This whole concept of law was fulfilled, if you will, in the aspect of the teachings and the preaching of the prophet. In our text, Jesus was condemned for his behavior and his interacting and taking the place and eating with sinners and as it was, and that point of point. And the Pharisees, these self-righteous ones, of course, were questioning his integrity, if you will, of how in the world he could be eating with sinners and aspects of that. And the Pharisees, again, associated the aspect that because he was associating with them, that he was doing something wrong. Now, he urged those people. In Hosea 6:6, he's quoting it. He urged them, learn the message of the prophets. Learn it. Have we learned it today? Have we learned what the prophets were trying? Have we learned what they looked into, what the angels wanted to evaluate, what they wanted to be, what they wanted to see? You think they could really feel and feel the heartfelt aspect of the height and the breadth and the length and the depth of the love of God and to know the love of Christ? Because the love of Christ wasn't even given at that point. Jesus hadn't died yet. It's this side of the cross that you and I are called by God to understand what the prophets were preaching. What their message was. Go and learn what this means, he said. What I desire is compassion. What I desire is compassion. That's what God desires. Now, Micah says it just maybe a little differently, but he says it in a very similar aspect of it. In Micah 6:6 through 8, he says, with what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offering, with yearling calves? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams, in 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? That you do justice. Justice means to do what is right, what is impartial, what is fair, and what is an aspect is indeed the absolute will of God. To do it. Be just. Could use that in our country right now, right? Justice needs to be demanded from all the things that have happened in the higher-ups of our political world. To love kindness, not to just be kind, but to love it. To love kindness. Kindness is going beyond the expected. Kindness is doing something that is beyond the norm, beyond just what is expected of you. That's what kindness, you know? Love is kind. Love is patient. Love is the aspects of it itself, okay? And then he says, and to walk humbly. Walk humbly with your God. Man, we know, do we not, that God is sovereign. He's far above us. Who can understand the ways of God? His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Is to know God is to simply come to a point where you recognize that every breath you take is a gift from God. You know, that's what the prophet said. If the soul is a breath, then that breath is God's breath, and he can take it anytime he wants to. He did for Ananias and Sapphira. Did he not? He can do it to you. He can do it to me anytime. Isn't that humbling, or isn't it? We get up every day and just keep on breathing. Some of you probably leave a little mint. You may have a little bad breath, I don't know. But the point of issue is, every day you get up. Oh, wait, remember Paul said in Acts 17 to the Athenians, it's in him that we move and have our being. We are his offspring. Who? God. Almighty God, holy, holy, holy is God Almighty. And we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God today. There's too much pride in the church. I'm telling you, there's too much pride, too much selfness in the church today. We need to empty ourselves, deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him, just like he dared our cross for us. There's just too much division and too much self involved. And yet Jesus said, except a man deny himself, take up his cross, follow me, you'll never learn of me. You'll never know who I am or what I'm all about. The aspect of that. You see, one under the Old Testament was heard and saw the message of the prophets. You know who that one was? You know who really got the message of the prophets more than anybody else? Not David, not Solomon, not Saul, none of them, none of them. One man. And we all read that book thinking, wow, it's a book on suffering. No, it's not. Job is a book showing that even in his suffering, he was a compassionate man. Satan could not destroy his heart and his relationship with God. He never cursed God. He never turned against God. He dealt with his own infirmities and his own weaknesses. But the Bible said beyond this suffering, princes, nobles, the young men, all spoke of Job as being blessed. And all of his suffering, they saw, they said he was a blessed man. Why? Because Job gave witness of one aspect that he learned. He was a compassionate man. He never lost it. Why? He delivered the poor who cried out. The orphan who had and needed help, he helped them. The blessings of the one ready to perish came upon him. He made the widow's heart sing for joy. He was eyes to the blind. He was feet to the lame. He was father to the needy. Righteousness clothed him. Justice was like a robe and a turban. And all that Job endured, he did not sin nor blame God. Have you read it with that in mind? Or have you read it just to see how Job endured suffering? Or did you read what God really wanted you to see? Here is a man who went through whatever, and he never lost his compassion for the needs of people. Never. Never. The Good Samaritan. You can read it. It's in the New Testament, right? And you know who walked by him, right? A priest, a Levite. The aspects of all of that is that, you know, I'm sure they were all heading to the temple or doing something. In their mind, they had religious responsibilities they had to fulfill. And they all walked by this man laying there, beaten up by thieves, suffering, right? The question was, who is my neighbor? Remember? Love your neighbor as yourself. And here came the Good Samaritan. You know the story, right? And he looked down upon this man, and he saw him beaten. You know what the Bible says? Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, and he had compassion on him. He had compassion on him. What does that say? Well, compassion is what bound his wounds, did what he had to do to help him where he's been beaten, Compassion was what lifted him up and put him on his animal. It was compassion that took him in and had him taken into an inn, and there he paid the innkeeper to take care of him. And then compassion moving even to say, when I come back again, if this doesn't cover it, I will pay it. That was compassion. And Jesus asked the question of the ones who asked it, okay, then which one of these men were the true neighbor? And they answered what? Well, I guess, I suppose it was the one who had compassion and showed mercy unto him. Right? Know what he said? Well, if that's not enough, Jesus told of a rich man. Remember the rich man? And outside of his house, outside of his gate, was a beggar, right? Huh? He did not say one bad thing about the rich man. He didn't say a bad thing about him. All he said was, there was a beggar who sits outside of his door simply begging for the crumbs off the rich man's table, and the dogs were licking his wounds. That's all he said. That's all he said. Didn't say any more than that. But he does say later by the Holy Spirit in 1 John 3:17, whenever, he says, whoever has of this world's good and seeth a brother have need and shut up his bowels of compassion upon him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Good question. When we have the ability to help and take care of the people and that are in need, and we, how does the love of God dwell in us if we have been as blessed as we are? I believe Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. And I believe that God wants to bless his people in order that they can indeed express the love and the compassion of God to others, which you've been very faithful in doing, whether it be India, Mexico. I hope to God you voted because you cared. Okay? You had compassion on what those people were going through over there, and that you were able to express to them the love of God that he has blessed us with in a very, very, very meaningful way. You see, compassion is translated 5 different ways in the Hebrew language and 8 different ways in the Greek. And the word comes out to grieve over. To grieve over. To share with someone. To show pity. To have deep sorrow for, to experience with one, to have inward parts hurt, called bowels, hurt and pain in the inner bowels. You know, when you got a backup of bowel, the pain, huh? When's the last time you really hurt inside for what other people are experiencing in the world in which you and I live in today? Bowels of compassion upon those who are hurting when we could meet their needs. How then does the love of God dwell in them? To suffer with, to walk alongside with, to be merciful. All those words in the Bible have one background meaning. Have, I desire compassion. I desire compassion. The scriptures state, I desire compassion, not sacrifice, right? Jesus looked upon Jerusalem and he felt compassion. Oh, Jerusalem. Oh, if you would have just allowed me, like a hen takes its brood under its wings, I would have protected you, drawed you, and been there. But you wouldn't let me. James 1:11 says, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Colossians 3:12, speaking to the Christians at Colossae, beloved, put on a heart of compassion. Put it on. Dress your life up. Let people see the compassion of God flowing through you. Galatians 5:13, through love, then, he says, serve one another. Now, I begin with this impact because I really believe that we're in danger today as a church. As evil increases, as all the lawlessness and everything else of people in that political world and all around us, This world is going to pot, literally. Don't let your heart go cold. Don't become indifferent. Don't allow this world to callous you, because that can happen. It really can happen, people. And God desires that we be a compassionate people. Let us together, as saints of God, comprehend together in the fullness, the height, the depth, the length, the breadth of God. There's no end to God's love, is there? No, there isn't. But let us also remember that the love of Christ surpasses all knowledge. To know God's love, to know the love of Christ, is more valuable than all the knowledge of the world. Knowledge is vain in itself. It really is. And then to be filled with the fullness of God. God, help us to be a compassionate people. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, I know I struggle with judgment, with all the immigrants and all that's happening in our country right now. God, I struggle with what's going on in the political realm and how they've misused our taxes and how many, many, many of them have indeed, through greed and envy, have indeed taken advantage of their positions and done things that are indeed sinful in their very acts. I know, God, that as I see things being made lawful, that people can continue to take the elements of their fleshly desires and fulfill them. Lord, I know that it's difficult, that we struggle within ourselves to lose the vision that you had for the world and for us, and allowing us the privilege to become your children. So God, today I just pray that we would indeed not allow the world and the sin and the lawlessness of this life to have an impact upon causing our hearts to wax cold, not to care, but God, help us to care, help us to love, help us to love one another more than anything else, to be known as your followers, to be known as a people who not only love you, but love one another. May your Holy Spirit, even right now, move upon the hearts of all of us. Fill us with the fullness of you, God, because you are love. And as you are, so shall we be in this world today. So I thank you for the hearts of these people. Thank you for this body of Christ here in Grand Ledge. Thank you for their compassion that they have expressed to the needs in India, Mexico, and other parts of the world. And as we continue to support mission work, I just pray that God will put our heart into it, that every dime, every penny we give will be expression of our compassion, our love, and our caring for the lost in this world today. So thank you. Bless this body. Bless us as a congregation that we can exemplify and live the heart that you have given us, the heart of Christ. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.